2:28. My faith has found a resting place. My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living One, His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other arguments, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus says, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to Him, He'll never cast me out. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My heart is leaning on the Word, the written Word of God. Salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through His blood. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. My great physician heals the sick, the lost He came to save. For me His precious blood He shed, for me His life He gave. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It's enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Hymn number 46, Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing My Great Redeemer's Praise. Oh for a thousand tongues to sing My Great Redeemer's Praise, for glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, His blood avail for me. Hear Him, ye deaf, ye praises dumb, your loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy.
Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 31. I'm going to read verses 1 through 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, and the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom and understanding and knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, in cutting of stones to set them, and carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all that are wise hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, the table and its furniture, and the pure candlestick with all its furniture, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering with all its furniture, and the laver and its foot, the cloths of service, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister to the priest's office, and the anointing oil, and the sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. Let us pray. Our Father, we praise you and thank you for great grace for ruined and wretched sinners who have hope, have no hope, and no help in this world save for you. We thank you, Father, for the shed blood of Jesus Christ that put away our sin by the sacrifice of himself. We thank you that you made him to be unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. We are thankful that in the course of our days you sent someone to tell us the truth about Christ, about you, and about ourselves, and how it is that you saved us. We praise you for that greatness, for that kindness and tenderheartedness. We thank you that you pity us as children. We are pitiful. You know our frame. You remember that we're dust. Father, we pray tonight for those who are sick, those who are going through trials, those who have lost loved ones. Pray for those who are going through troubles in heart and mind. Thou knowest every case. Pray you be tender and merciful to them. Fix the hearts and minds upon Jesus Christ. And we pray for your help tonight, Father. We gather here that you might open your word to us. Enable me to preach the gospel. Enable me to say right things concerning you. May we worship you in spirit and in truth this day. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now this passage reveals the calling and anointing of those who will manufacture all the furniture and the fabric and the utensils that will be employed in the ministry of the tabernacle. All the elements have been described since chapter 20 of Moses, or Exodus. Since Moses has gone up on the mount with the Lord for these 40 days, these elements have been described. We've been looking at all of them for the last many weeks. Now comes the time for them all to be made and put together. And so the Lord calls and anoints artisans to do the work. These men chosen were of the tribes of Judah and the tribes of Dan. Now these tribes were not of the Levitical line, who were designated as ministers in the tabernacle, but are called to build the elements of the tabernacle and the tabernacle itself. And when Jacob blessed his sons in Genesis 49, he set forth Judah as a picture of Jesus Christ, as he to whom the brethren will bow and praise, as the young lion coming back from the prey, as the old lion who can rouse him up, as the one who sits upon the throne with the lawgiver between his feet, till Shiloh come. describes Christ in his, as Judah as the Savior. And we know Judah twice in the book of Genesis became surety for one of the brethren, for Simeon. And he describes Dan, the last thing said about Dan when he describes his son in Genesis 49 is Dan was waiting on the salvation of the Lord. So the tribe of Judah is the Savior. The tribe of Dan is the one waiting on the salvation of the Lord. And these two, these who minister in the tabernacle are not, the Levitical line is not the builders of the tabernacle. These two who minister in the tabernacle are the ones that's going to build it. The tabernacle. The tabernacle means to dwell. And we know that that speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's the word tabernacle. And tabernacle among us, we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. The tabernacle will later become a temple. And the temple is a picture of the church, which is built by Christ. It's His church, and He's the builder thereof. Over in Zechariah, it speaks of the branch of the Lord being set forth, who is both king and priest. And he has something that he's going to do in Zechariah chapter 6. It says in verse 12, "And speak to him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold, the man whose name is the branch." Now that's used four times to describe the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. "He shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory. And shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both." We know this is the Lord Jesus Christ because he's the only one who's ever been both king and priest. He's King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's the most high priest unto God, our great high priest who stands before God as our intercessor even to this day. So he's the one that's going to build the temple. And he speaks of himself as the temple. Over in John chapter 2, when the Pharisees ask for a sign of who he is, he takes them to that thing which is so precious to them, the temple of Jerusalem. And he says in John chapter 2 and verse 18, he says, "And they answered, then answered the Jews and said, Well, what sign showest us thou, seeing that thou doest these things?" He had done great things. He went into the temple. He had planted a whip of cords. He had run the money changers out of the temple. He said, "This is my Father's house. This is the Lord's house. It's a house of prayer, and you turn it into a den of thieves." And they were wondering, what gives you right to do this thing? So he says, so Jesus answered, said, "Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it up in 3 days." And it says, next, it says, then said the Jews, 46 years with this temple in building without reared up in 3 days, but he spake of the temple of his body. Speak of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And we know that the temple is the church. We know that the body of Christ is the church. It's his mystical body. You are the body of Jesus Christ. That's what it says over in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, he says, "Now therefore we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all are building fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." God lives in his people through his Spirit. It's called his temple. It's called his body. It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is his body, and the building blocks are the apostles' doctrine. This church is built on the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ in him crucified. He is the headstone. He is the cornerstone. He's the stone that the builders refused, that the Lord has made the head of the corner. He's the foundation, the only foundation laid which men can lay upon. He's the pinnacle of that building with shoutings of grace, grace unto it. So it says of Zerubbabel in Zechariah 5. It is Judah, Christ, that builds the tabernacle, the church. But also involved in the building of it is Dan. Is Dan, who waits for the salvation of the Lord. This reveals that God is a God of means. He's a God of means. He uses those He has created to accomplish His purpose. He does. I know when people talk about sovereignty, they talk about almost in the abstract, and just God can, you know, God's all powerful, and He can zap this and make that happen. He's going to use what He has made to do His bidding. He always has. Even He has created even the evil one for the day of destruction. He has created those who oppose Him and those who love Him. I heard today of a family we used to know here who's now said they don't believe in God at all. Don't have anything to do with God. When asked about that, I said, well, you need to look at your watch and say they said it right on time. Everybody is part of God's employment. Everybody serves Almighty God. All His creatures, everything that hath breath, that rises and wriggles upon this earth, serves God in His purpose. He will serve His purpose in grace, or He'll serve His purpose in wrath, but they will serve His purpose. Now these two, Judah and Dan, are a means to build this thing called the tabernacle, which will be the dwelling place of the children of God in the 40 years that they're about to embark in the wilderness. Some have said they don't know whether this tabernacle was ever raised. I don't know either. Not much is said about it after this. But this is set forth, and all of it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. This reveals that God is a God of means. He uses people He's created. And this passage declares that in spades and reveals not only the building of the tabernacle, but also the ministry. Also the ministry of the tabernacle, which is the church. Excuse me. Those who build and minister in the house of God are there and employed thusly by the sovereign God. In this short passage of Scripture, our Lord makes it very clear that this building, this ministry, is His work. And the church of the living God is His building and His ministry and His work. He says in this short passage of Scripture, I have called, I have filled, I have given, I have put, and I have commanded. He said, I've done all that. I've called them, I've filled them, I've given them, or given to them what they need. I have put them in the place they're supposed to be, and I have commanded them what they're to do. This is the ministry that belongs to God and how He will use His church and His people to do this. The wisdom and knowledge and understanding and skill given these men are for a singular purpose, the building of the tabernacle. That's what they're there for. What they're there for. This demonstrates that the work that the child of God does is the life that he's been given. It's the job he's been given. Does he be able to define what he's doing for the Lord? Don't even try. Don't even try. His function in the world is his function in the ministry of the church. This week, Stan got a promotion. I'm so glad he did. He's been wanting that for a long time and worked hard to get it. He deserves to get that promotion. Now, when he goes out there and looks through that transom and sights a line for property to make sure that people are living on their own land, not encroaching on somebody else's or something, you know what he's doing? He's doing the Lord's work. Yes, he is. It's life. What you do when you get up in the morning. Taking care of your loved ones, taking care of your neighbors, doing what you do. You say, well, that's not, that ain't to do with religion. No, it doesn't. It has to do with the Lord's work. Your function in this world is the function that God has appointed to you. Has appointed to you. And it has to do with the ministry of the church. What he does, he's been able to do and equipped to do. He's been called and filled and given. He's been put somewhere and commanded to function in his ordained position. That's the way it is in the church of God. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10? You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has foreordained that you should walk in them. Will a child of God have good works? Yes, he will. Will he necessarily know what they are? No, he won't. Why? Because he's not paying attention to those things. His life is not one of, let's be religious. His life is one of getting up in the morning, going to work, taking care of the family, going to bed at night, doing what he does. Doing what he does. Over in Romans chapter 12, our Lord talks about functions in the church. Romans chapter 12, he said, everybody's given a job. And over in the Corinthians, you know, it talks about the church being a body, a living body. You know, the church is not an organization. It's not a business. The church is an organism. It's a living, breathing thing. And each thing has a function. And the functions don't operate against each other. The eye doesn't say to the foot, I wish I was a foot. The eye operates as an eye. And that's how it's described in 1 Corinthians. That's how the body is described. There's no schism going on. And Paul was saying all that because there were tons of schisms in the church at Corinth when he wrote that letter. But he's saying that's not how the organism works. They work together. They fit together. We just read that it is fitly framed together into the temple of the Holy God. But in Romans chapter 12, Paul says in verse 4, so for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same, office, that word there, office is function. Well, what is he talking about? Well, he said, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one with another. We're all together in this thing. He said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophesy, preaching, if you're a preacher, preach. If you prophesy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith that you've been given. Of ministry, let us wait on ministering. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. You know, that's a job in the church. The person who has it probably don't know he does, has it. But you know what he does? He exhorts the brethren, strengthens them, encourages them. He don't know it, but that's a function in the church. He that giveth, that's a function in the church. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. What does that mean? Without anybody knowing. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy. I mean, that's a function. There's some people that are more merciful than others. There's some people, no matter what you do, they'll always forgive you. They'll always take you in. They'll never turn your back on you, never hold a grudge against you. They'll always show mercy. Show mercy with children. These are functions in the church. We don't think of them as jobs. We don't think of them as offices. We don't even think of them at all. But everybody in the body of Christ has a particular function, differing function according to the grace that God has given them. And our Lord said the most uncomely and quietest and most unrecognized parts are the most important. I'm the most recognized person in this church. I stand before you. I'm not the most important one. Evidently the one who prays quietly and nobody knows about. Who shows up, loves his brother quietly, don't make a big show of it. That's the important part. That's using the body as an analogy. We like the face. Oh, we used to like. Don't like so much anymore, but we used to like it pretty good. The face is what people see. See the frame, they see that. But you know, you get your face ripped off, torn up, lose an arm, a leg. All these things can take place. But you still function. Still alive. Why? Because the uncomely parts that you don't see is what keeps things going. Your liver, your heart, your pancreas, your lungs. You don't see, and they're not that good looking. I've seen them. They're uncomely, but oh, how important they are. Everyone has a function in the body of Christ. Everyone. Everyone. Many in religion feel that the works of a child of God are those things that fall squarely in a religious or sacred realm, a visible and recordable deed, perhaps, that someone can see and make note of. But the function of the child of God in the ministry of the gospel is simply this: his life. His life. His everyday existence. He is unaware, or rather does not seek to account of his works. He lives, employs the skills and wisdom and knowledge that he's been given in the place of God that God has put him. His life is hid, it says in Scripture. So don't go asking him what his Christian life is like, because he don't know. It's hid with Christ in God. And that life will place him where he belongs in the ordained work that he's been equipped to do. And he will do it. He will. And he'll not stop to account that it is anything other than what he does. These men had a function in the church, building the temple. They didn't outshine Moses. They didn't outshine Levi. They didn't outshine. This is what they did. This is what they did. And it's the Lord who's chosen the work. And the Lord has chosen who does the work. The context declares that he's called by name. That's what he said. I'll call by name these men. We'll call them by their name. This is the language of electing grace. The election of grace. The language of the shepherd and the sheep. The language of the Savior and the saved sinner. Look over at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 3 says this: to him, that is to Christ, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And leadeth them out. Calls his sheep by name. Then in verses 14 through 18, it says he laid down his life for those sheep. He said, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so I know my Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. He's talking about the difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. And they shall hear my voice. They shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, for I lay it down by myself, and I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Then those who oppose him and don't want anything to do with him and don't believe him, he deals with later on in the chapter, verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father one. And the proof that he has chosen them, he said, I will call them. I'll call them by their name. I'll call them. How are people called? They're not called to the front by the preacher. They're not called to walk an aisle. They're called one way and one way only. They're called to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that call is only heard by the one who's called. The preacher's voice is heard by everybody out there, but the one who's called is the one who hears the voice. My sheep hear my voice. Our Lord said this. Our Lord said this in 2 Thessalonians. Paul said this to the Thessalonica church in reference to those who would not come, who despised the gospel of Jesus Christ, whom God had sent a delusion that they would believe a lie, who love not the truth. He said, but that's not your case. To the church at Thessalonica, he says, but brethren, beloved of the Lord, we are thankful to God for you, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He called you. And when he calls, he said, I call my sheep by name, and they follow me. When you're called of God, you will follow. Because he is called, the means by which he is called is the source of what has been given. They are called by the gospel, and they were given by the gospel a wondrous thing, a thing called faith, which so many people have no idea what it is. They all think they have it. They talk about, well, I got my faith. You do? Well, good for you. All of God's children have a faith that God has given. They don't call it their faith. They call it faith. God-given faith. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How do you get that faith? Through the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The faith that God gives includes some things. It includes wisdom. For Christ is made to be their wisdom. It includes knowledge, because all knowledge is found in Jesus Christ. He's the spring of all knowledge and understanding. And understanding, light, is put in the heart with an unction from on high that makes God's people know everything, even having the mind of Jesus Christ. And he's been commanded to do what God will build, to that which will build the church. He's been commanded to do that. He commanded his people in Matthew 28:19-20. All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. I command you, go into the gospel, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. No man or woman can call or choose themselves for their function in the ministry. No church can appoint that function. They cannot fill themselves or give themselves what they need or endow themselves with wisdom and knowledge nor command themselves. They can't. This is the work of the Lord and ensures its complete success. And the Lord said to Simon Peter, whom do men say that I am? Some of the disciples says, well, some say you're Jeremiah. Probably because he wept. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. Some say you're Elijah. Raised from the dead. He said, well, whom do you say I am? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon and Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock, what rock? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The gospel. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the very gates of hell will not be able to withstand its force in this world. You have a function. Don't go trying to figure out what it is. Like old Augustine of Hippo said, love Christ and do what you will. God bless you.